Hi, I'm Bobby Johns, and this is my lovely wife, Shari. This is our second time to tell our story here at Reengage, so thanks for letting us share our story with you. First, a quick prayer to get us started. Father God, thank you for your grace and endless blessings that we don't deserve. Please open our eyes and our hearts to your truth, and if there is anything useful in our story, please let that come through tonight. You are mighty and filled with love and compassion for us, your broken children. There is no marital problem or other issue here tonight that's bigger than you, God. You love us where we are and love us enough not to leave us there. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Bobby and I have been together for 18 years and married for 12. We have two beautiful boys, Austin, will be 9 in May, and Wyatt, 4 in December. Actually, it's past December. Oh, there they are. We've been going to Watermark for about 6 years now. Both Bobby and I were born and raised here in Dallas.
As for my background and family, I wasn't raised in any kind of organized religion. My parents were divorced when I was 18 months old because my father was gay. I usually don't mention that up front because people often tune out for a minute after they hear that. They hear, blah, 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 gay, blah, 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 blah. This played out badly for me because the rest of the family was deathly afraid that I would turn out to be gay too. So even at a very young age, I was encouraged to notice women, look at cheerleaders, and so on. This was like throwing gasoline on a fire. I was already attracted to women. It started a lifelong addiction to pornography starting at age 8 with Playboy, with the encouragement of a relative who thought she was helping me. I grew up with a series of stepfathers. Until I was 12 years old, and my mom's fourth husband seemed to stick. They were married 20-plus years, and he was the first stable father figure I ever had. And he taught me about being a man, not so much about what he said, but what he did. He was a good moral man, became a Freemason, and passed away just a few years ago. Just about the time I hit puberty, I was trying to leave anything about God and the Bible behind. I asked questions of the Christians I knew, but no one could give me what I thought were intellectually honest answers about the hard questions. How do I know that the Bible is God's word? How do I know Jesus is who he says he was? Why does God let bad things happen? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. I spent most of my adult life far from God, actively running away from him. If you count abortion as murder, then I've broken all 10 of the commandments. I don't know how to give more details about my past hedonism without it sounding like bragging. So trust me when I tell you, I was lost and completely bought into the world's lies. Living in the darkness, I mocked everything that Christians stood for, and I did it with gusto. Proverbs 18, 1 and 2. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing of their own opinions.
I grew up in a volatile household. My father was physically abusive to my mother. And when I was 15, my mother took myself and my two brothers and we went to live in a women's shelter where we lived there for 3 weeks in hiding from him. My mother believed in the Lord and always spoke of him. But I didn't understand how God could do this to us. My mother then remarried a man who also had 3 children, and together they had 1 more. And all 9 of us lived together in 1 tiny house. And because of the divorce and the remarriage, I had to start over again at a new high school. In hindsight, God was looking after me. A sweet girl that I met there introduced me to others she knew and befriended me. They all invited me to go to church with them. And I loved it. And at church camp the summer before my senior year, I gave myself over to the Lord and was baptized. I had head knowledge of what that meant. I thought that if I was good and helped people, then all was fine. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus who to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. After high school, I stopped running with these friends that I had made at church and went completely wild. I began drinking and experimenting with drugs. And because of my promiscuity, I became pregnant and decided to have an abortion.
I pursued a career as a tech geek, bought the latest gadgets, got married and divorced, chased women, and let sex dictate my life. All the while, something was missing. I would move from one philosophy or ism to another, trying to find what was missing. I read books on psychology and comparative religion and philosophy for pleasure. At first being excited, thinking I'd found some real answer at last, only to discover that when I chased these ideas to their logical conclusion, they were just another dead-end, lame excuse for the truth. Slowly, I began to live a life closer to the straight and narrow, but never consciously trying to please or know God. Just dropping the most destructive behaviors that I had lived long enough to realize didn't work.
I met Bobby in 1995, and we were pretty much inseparable. After only a few months of dating, we moved in together. I didn't see anything wrong with it at the time. All my friends were living with their boyfriends. Bobby and I got married in the fall of 2001, and after a couple of years of marriage, we started trying to have a child. One afternoon, Bobby had to rush me to the hospital because I was having severe abdominal cramps. I didn't know I was pregnant at the time until we got to the emergency room where I learned I was having a miscarriage. I was devastated. Several months later, I found out we were pregnant again. We were really excited. It turned out that I had an ectopic pregnancy and was then immediately rushed into emergency surgery. I remember after that surgery looking at a friend who had come to visit me and asking them if this was God's way of punishing me for the abortion that I had had. About a year after this, we got pregnant again, but fear dominated most of that pregnancy. Our little blessing was born, happy and healthy, and we named him Austin. After the birth of our son, Bobby and I slowly drifted apart, feeling like I had to control everything, making all of the decisions, feeling very alone. I remember sitting on the couch after Austin had gone to bed one evening, and I had looked at Bobby, and I was just telling him about how lonely I felt, even though we were sitting in the same room together.
I met my wife, Shari, and I was finally ready to get married again, after much patience on Shari's part. I was madly in love with her, and with the birth of my son, after several misadventures, I began to wonder if I was capable of being a good father, not to mention a good husband or even a good man. The miscarriages and ectopic pregnancy put a deep fear into me and made me realize how little control I really had. I had almost lost Shari, and the prospect made me fearful, overprotective, and timid. Everything I learned from various self-help and personal growth efforts over the years had taken me about as far as they could. My marriage was dying, and I couldn't figure out how to stop it. Divorce was the most likely outcome, and I was in despair, paralyzed with fear, a classic case of failure to lead and passivity. My addiction to pornography was taking its toll as well.
So at this time in our marriage, you could say that Bobby and I were more like roommates. The distance had grown between us was pretty deep. I would spend most of my evenings in the bedroom watching TV, while Bobby spent the evening in the living room doing the same or on his computer. I was sad, depressed, and lonely. I started contemplating divorce and what that might look like. I started picturing my son and myself living without Bobby. The world made it sound so easy and okay, that the grass was greener and that I could be happier if I just ended the marriage. Satan was working in my heart. He would have enjoyed seeing my son grow up without his father around. My first visit to Watermark was in January of 2008. I had come with a friend who invited me, and I brought my son with me. She had a son the same age as ours, so it made it easier for me to come. Todd was talking about marriage and specifically about being undivorced. I remember him saying that if you were married but not living the Lord's definition of marriage, then you were living undivorced. It felt like he was talking straight to me, that somehow he knew I was showing up that morning, and he created this sermon just for me. When in reality, it was Jesus who knew I'd be walking in those doors that very day, and that the Holy Spirit, that he spoke to me. I remember going home that day and telling Bobby about the sermon I'd heard. I told him I was going to go back the next week and that he could come with me if he wanted to. He didn't come with me that next week, but and the sermon turned out to be a series on marriage. I remember praying that day that Bobby would come with me the next week after, and he did.
I wasn't excited about going to church, but I went hoping for a little solace, maybe a few new social contacts. I didn't have any men that I could regularly talk to about anything except technology. To be honest, I wasn't sure the church building wouldn't cave in on me when I walked in. Todd was in the middle of the first Re-Engage series, and it seemed like he was just talking to me. I came for 6 straight weeks, and they were all about me. After 6-plus years, a couple have not been about me. They're about her. So.
That wasn't on the paper.
Some of them are still about her. So what I found were people who had a love and authenticity and an energy that I'd never seen in church before. They spoke of God's unfailing, unchangeable love for us all, even for me. A love so deep that he would give his only son to pay the price for my wickedness. I heard that I was forgiven and saved by grace. It took a while for me to come around to the conclusion that this might be what I had been looking for. Not knowing any better, I just prayed my first feeble little prayer. God, I don't know what this is supposed to look like, but if you're there, please come into my heart and let me find out. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. At first, I didn't tell anybody I went to church here, not because of what they might think of me, but what they might think of the church. If they let that guy in, they'll let anybody in. That's actually the truth. But I felt a need to protect my new friends from my past, but they didn't need it. They had a protector and a redeemer already. I began reading the Bible and found things I'd never heard before. I began to cultivate personal friendships with God through Jesus Christ. I spoke with committed Christ followers who spoke with an authenticity I'd never knew from Christians before. My idea of what being a real Christian, a Christ follower, was forever changed. No one was afraid of even my toughest questions. I began to pray regularly and found a peace I had not had before. I began to see improvements in my marriage and my other relationships. I still go off in the weeds sometimes, but I know the way back. I still struggle with the lies of the world at times, but I have hope that I didn't have before. What I was missing was there all along. I never saw God's love and grace for what it was. Unchangeable, unbreakable, unfathomable. Somewhere along the way, my interest in pornography also diminished. I finally threw away my last stash of DVDs one day after reading Scripture, James 1:19-21. Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. After I jumped in with both feet, my wife began to come around a little at a time. We joined a community group. I started to equip disciple at our church because I didn't even know what I didn't know. What's quiet time and do I need earplugs? We decided to give this new marriage class called Re-Engage a shot. 26 weeks? Are you kidding me? Okay, let's do it. And it used to be 26 weeks, so you guys are lucky. Two other couples from our community group did Re-Engage with us.
I remember Bobby wanting to sign up for that first Re-Engage class that our church offered, and I was not ready at all. My heart was very hard towards him, and I felt at times that it would never soften. Obviously, I'm glad we ended up doing it. Focusing on our marriage and focusing on Christ is truly the only way out of the deep funk that our marriage had gotten into. I am so very thankful today for what the Lord has blessed me and my family with. We have dear, sweet friends who pour into us and guide us. I think about how our little family has grown and how awesome our 2 sweet boys are. I rejoice at this relationship my husband and I now have with Jesus Christ, and Bobby is my best friend. There's no place I would rather be. He is my rock, and I'm thrilled to follow his lead.
We actually have another picture that would probably fit in here well. There you go. Yeah, there are even crazier ones than that. We still have conflicts and argue sometimes, but the difference is we're committed to Christ first and then each other. Shari and I now serve as small group facilitators in Reengage, not because we have a perfect marriage, because we don't, but because we know the pain that a dysfunctional marriage can bring and feel drawn to do something about it. The fear and sadness can be crippling. If that's where you are and wondering if this is for you, yes, it is. There's no better place that I'm aware of, and there's no better time to start than right now. If you have something scary you need to share with your spouse or small group, do it tonight. Dig deep and get after it. God is bigger than anything you might be facing. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. Thank you for letting us share our story with you tonight.